Anecdote number 42 from Zen is right here. Teaching stories and anecdotes of Shunryu Suzuki. Suzuki Roshi washed his feet on the doorstep after working in the garden. His attendant, who was standing just inside the door, handed him a towel. She then reached down and pinched one of his toes. That is one of the powers of Buddha, he said. What is? To see what someone needs and give it to them. That was told by Louise Pryor. It was Tassajara in 1967. And she was his first attendant there for the first practice period. And, you know, as it developed, there was what was called a Jisha, who was the main personal attendant, and the Anja, who was the cabin cleaner, and who made tea and did stuff. But I think when Louise did it, it was just her. And she was pretty new to all this. I mean, it wasn't like these days where by the time you get to something like that, you've been around for years. She came in with Dan a few months before, came in on his motorcycle, you know, with a place to sit in back for her, three-wheeled. And they were really so cool. I mean, they were like, you know, Dan had long hair then, and she wore, I'm not very good at describing clothes, but like sort of long flowery dresses, it seemed is what I remember. But they were sort of like stylish hippies, but sort of funky farming type. You know, but they had style. And Dan had a lot of experience. He'd been in a Japanese monastery as a teenager, a Zen monastery. But this was all fairly new to Louise. She'd been around the Berkeley Zendo some. But anyway, she got right into it. I'm going to read you a little from her interview. Let's see if I say when I did this. Yeah. Oh, yeah. September 24th, 1995. Louise Pryor, formerly Welsh. Yeah, I've always thought of Louise as a very earthy person. Very no-nonsense, straightforward, no airs. She follows I know because I get messages from her. She follows my Cuke What's New blog posts, which are 6 days a week, and my cute nonsense posts, which are also 6 days a week. So, you know, as she tells the story, in the book, I left out people's interpretation of what, pretty much, not always, but mainly, of what happened. So I just left it there, what he said. But when she was telling the story, she said, I understood then that the teaching could be learned from another person, not just books. She says, the first time I saw Suzuki Roshi was in 1966, and there was an art show to benefit the purchase of Tassajara. It was located in a building near Sokoji, the temple, and where Suzuki Roshi and Oksan lived. I volunteered a shift taking care of the gallery. I was told to get the key to the gallery from Sokoji. I went there, ran up the stairs two at a time, long hair flying. I remember I was wearing a blouse, mini skirt, silver stockings, and yellow high-heeled shoes. All right, there you go. I knocked on the door out of breath, and Suzuki Roshi answered. I told him I needed the key to the gallery. He wanted to know who I was. I seemed to have difficulty explaining. He stood and looked at me quietly after I'd finished explaining. I remember wondering if he was thinking how such a person could be affiliated with the Zen Center. He gave me the key, and I slowly walked back down the stairs. I was 23 years old. Dan and I got together when I was a student at Davis in 64, maybe. We lived at the Berkeley Zen Center in 66. Yeah, Dan's sister, Jeannie Campbell, was her and her husband, Howard, were taking care of it then. Until Mel got involved and he started taking care of it. I realized when I saw him that there was, and she's talking about Suzuki now, I realized when I saw him that there was such a contrast between me and him, and he was quiet for so long, and I had such a hard time telling him who I was. I kept going on, and nothing was enough. I felt like he might not give the key to me. He finally gave it to me, and I felt reflective after that. He was dressed in his robes. I remember his gaze. We were about the same height. No, Suzuki was shorter than her. She said he seemed very calm. I said, how tall are you? She said, about 5'6". I said, you're 7 inches taller than he was. She said, oh, I don't remember that. I remember being about the same height. Isn't that funny? I remember being stooped and wondering about myself afterwards. I was Suzuki Roshi's first Jisha and Anja at Tassajara, I think. Those two jobs were one job at that time. Since I was the first person to do the job, I had no idea what to do. And I remember on the first morning of the job, Roshi worked in his garden, and then she tells that story. Now she says, the first time I ever sat Zazen was the Tongaryu for that practice period. So she'd been living in the Berkeley Zendo, but she hadn't started participating in the practice yet. And the Tongaryo means waiting room. It's when you sit all day from, you know, like 4 in the morning till 9 or 10 at night, probably back then till 9 at night. You know, the first Tongaryo was 3 days. And there's only breaks after meals. But you can move. You just have to sit there. And for somebody who's never sat or anything, and especially back then where there was no culture surrounding it, no group, large group of established people who'd done it, that makes a difference. It's like it was new for everybody but Dan, who'd done it in Japan much more severely than what we'd done. Tongaryu is an initiation that you have to go through before you become a student there. She says, one time at Tassajara, Suzuki Roshi had a cold, and it was chilly outside. I suggested he wear a turtleneck shirt under his robes to keep warm in the Zendo. As I followed him into the Zendo carrying incense, he stopped, turned around, and looked back at me and said, do you think that the turtleneck makes me look like a hippie? I knew if I said yes, he would go back to his cabin and remove it. I said, no, you look fine. And he went on to the Zendo. Once I was feeling a lot of self-doubt and comparing myself to other students who had the right Zen clothes and read all the right Zen books, I told this to Suzuki Roshi. I said, I just fell into the experience of studying Zen and doing Zazen without any idea of what I was doing and without any plan. He said that that is the best way to come to practice. Yeah, no kidding. That's not an isolated statement on his part. Well, I think I won't. It's a nice interview. It's not very long, but, you know, this is a mini podcast. So I'm going to leave it there. That's a good example of how Suzuki would be teaching, and just every little thing that was happening through the day was natural. And it wasn't forced. This has been a Cuke Audio mini podcast. I'm DC Puba of Cuke Audio and Cuke Archives, coming to you from Sleepy Sanur with Doggett Bandita and Feline Cuchita, dear lovely Katrinka, and the roosters and birds and dogs outside, though I don't think they were participating at this time. And we're all wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening.